The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, who have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up from Perkins.org, 12 things you probably don't know about Braille. You may recognize Braille from keypads and elevators, but did you know there are two versions, or that it can be used to write almost any language? Authored by Perkins School for the Blind. Braille is the world's most popular tactile reading and writing system. Named after its creator, Louis Braille, it uses combinations of raised dots to spell out letters and punctuation. Around the world, people who are blind read Braille with their fingertips and can write it using devices like the Perkins Brailler. But that's not the whole story about Braille. Number one. Braille started out as a military code called night writing. Developed in 1819 by the French army, soldiers used it to communicate at night without speaking or using candles. 15-year-old French schoolboy Louis Braille learned about the code and eventually developed the more usable, streamlined version of the Braille alphabet we know today. Number two. There's an asteroid named Braille. In 1999, NASA's Deep Space One probe flew past an asteroid while on its way to photograph the Borrelly comet, B-O-R-R-E-L-L-Y. NASA named the asteroid 9969 Braille in honor of Louis Braille. Number three, Braille takes up more space than the traditional alphabet, which is why Braille books are much larger than their counterparts. For example, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire is 10 volumes in Braille, the New American Bible is 45 volumes, and Webster's Unabridged Dictionary is a shelf-hogging 72 volumes. Number four, Braille is not a language. It's a tactile alphabet that can be used to write almost any language. There are Braille versions of Chinese, Spanish, Arabic, Hebrew, and many others. Number five, ever heard of the Braille Challenge? An annual competition for students who are blind, the Braille Institute hosts more than 1,400 students from the U.S. and Canada to test their Braille skills. Contestants compete in categories like reading comprehension, proofreading, and spelling. Winners in each age group walk away with monetary prizes and Braille bragging rights for a year. Number six, just because you're blind doesn't mean you don't have to learn math. There's a special version of Braille just for mathematics called the Nemeth Code, N-E-M-E-T-H. It was invented by Dr. Abraham Nemeth and can be used to transcribe math, algebra, and calculus. Number seven, there are two versions of Braille, contracted and uncontracted. In uncontracted Braille, every word is spelled out. Contracted Braille is a shorthand version where common words are abbreviated, much like don't is a shorter version of do and not. Most children learn uncontracted Braille before they learn the contracted version. Eight, there's a good reason why Braille is on the keypad buttons of drive-thru ATMs. The Americans with Disabilities Act, ADA, mandates that all ATMs must be accessible to people with visual impairments, and drive-through ATMs aren't exempt. This mandate ensures that blind passengers traveling in the back seats of cars or taxis can reach the ATM and independently make a transaction without assistance from the driver. Number nine, some Braille readers' fingers can really fly. While a sighted person can read 300 words per minute, some fast Braille readers can whip through a book at a speed of 400 words per minute. The key to reading Braille so quickly is a light touch and using both hands. One hand reads while the other is poised to start the next line. Number 10, you shouldn't capitalize Braille. When writing about the Braille code, the name should be lowercase, according to the Braille Authority of North America. When referring to the proper name of Louis Braille, capitalize it. Number 11. Like tattoos, get one in Braille. Some Braille tattoos are simple, like love, and some are complicated. Most people get flat ink Braille across tattoos, whilst others reportedly get small surgical beads inserted under their skin to create raised Braille dots. If you're not ready to go that far, Temporary Braille tattoos are also available. Number 12. There are a number of children's toys that feature Braille. In recent years, toy companies have made strides in ensuring every child has the opportunity to play some of the biggest classic family games, such as Braille Uno, Braille and Low Vision Monopoly, and Braille Lego. That's it for that one. Also from Perkins.org, the Habele One, H-A-B-L-E-O-N-E, controller for smartphones and tablets. Habele introduces the Habele One, which revolutionizes smartphone and tablet usage for blind and partially sighted communities in the U.S. June 27, 2022, New Orleans. At the National Federation of the Blind National Convention, Habele, a startup company from the Netherlands, introduced the much-anticipated Habele One controller to the United States. The Habele One is an easy-to-use remote controller for your smartphone or tablet. Combining technology and design, the Habele One brings an unprecedented experience for people who are blind or partially sighted, allowing them to use their smart devices easily in any situation. Users can access their smart devices while out and about more safely, navigate through and in apps, type messages quickly without errors, and gain access to previously inaccessible applications. The Habele One uses a combination of tactile key combinations to let users navigate their phones and tablets. Users can type messages in Braille or use the dictation function. The product is easy to use and requires no installation, making it suitable for all age groups and lifestyles. Previous introductions. The Habele One has already been successfully introduced in 6 European countries, where it has received impressive feedback. 89% of users say their smartphone and tablet usage has improved significantly, and 96% of users recommend the Habele One to others. With several successful market introductions in Europe, the next logical step was to move overseas. After visiting CSUN in March of 2022, they realized there was a huge demand for a product like this in the U.S. Since then, we have worked on setting up a network with amazing partners that are able to provide the best support to our users. We are extremely excited to get started and start serving customers in the U.S., and we hope to meet many of them at the NFB conference, says Freek van Velsenis, W-E-L-S-E-N-I-S, co-founder of Habele. About Habele. Habele is a startup from the Netherlands with a mission to empower people with blindness to achieve more. In 2.5 years, Habele developed the Habele One, tested the product with thousands of people, and introduced the product in the Netherlands September 2021. In the coming years, Habele will focus on improving the lives of people with visual impairments by using technology and smart design. Get your hands on a Habele One. Interested in trying the Habele One for yourself? Contact support at iamhable.com for details in your location. Citations, Habele website, based on research with users in the Netherlands and Belgium. Article by Freek van Velsenis, co-founder Habele One. I will read a short testimonial from a friend of the Canadian winner of the Habele One Challenge. Tammy's story. I have been interested in getting my hands on a Habele One since I heard about it in late 2021. There was a European Habele Challenge, but I'm from Canada, so I was excluded from that challenge. When a friend, in fact the winner of the Canadian Habele Challenge, contacted me and said it might be a thing I might be interested in entering, I did just that. And even though I was a little late to that particular party, I was entered and received my device at the beginning of the following week. I was firstly amazed at how small it was, and I kind of wondered if I'd be able to use it given the complexity of the commands, or how complex I thought they seemed at the time. I read the manual and started learning commands, though within a week I was somewhat proficient with the Habele One. I remember remarking to a friend, "You know a device has become part of your daily life when it's the first thing you pick up in the morning." And that's so true. Within a week, the Habele One had become my device of choice for my iPhone because it's so much easier to use for pretty much anything related to my smartphone. Things I never really thought I'd do easily. Email became a breeze, both writing and reading. Notes and messages were quick to type out because of the Braille keyboard. grocery lists and any list, even games like Crossley and Clever Clues and Seven Little Words were easier to play. But it goes beyond that. Because I have three kids, time is a thing I don't have a lot of. So doing things with some speed is necessary. The Habel One allows me to type with proficiency on my smartphone, even when I'm on the bus or when walking. And when my kids are using my smartphone, as my daughter does, I can turn the volume up and down from across the room and pause and play her videos as well. I can also enter in my phone's password without my other daughter hearing it, as well as lock the screen, so that gives me another form of control that sometimes I need as a parent. Also, when you're blind and have a smart device, people see you as a target. I worry about that, especially at night, and more so with my kids, but also when I'm by myself. The Habel One makes me feel safer because I can leave my smartphone in my backpack, or my purse, or wherever it happens to be, out of sight, and nobody knows what that little device hanging from my wrist, or the one I pull out of my pocket and smash buttons on, is. So they leave me alone because they have no idea what I'm even doing. I could go on and on about how the Habel One makes my life easier, from grocery lists to games and emails to notes and all the things in between. It even allows for easier TV watching because I can navigate the screen faster with the commands for top of the screen and bottom of the screen, and makes finding tabs easier. I think it's strange how we're all wanting a smartphone with a touch screen, but it's not really for the touch screen we all want the phone for. It's how much the phone can actually do. Now we all want Bluetooth keyboards and easier ways to navigate our touchscreen device. The Habel One has been a game changer for me. I've been looking for something like it for years now. It's only one of a couple of keyboards with Braille input, and the other keyboard isn't quite as portable. And being a Braillist from a very early age makes it a very good fit for my lifestyle and my workflow. It gives me speed and accuracy on my smartphone, something I've been looking for since as far back as I can remember. Oh, and it makes an amazing fidget when it's off and just sitting on the desk, when I'm on the phone or need a distraction. Unfortunately, one of the drawbacks of the device is its cost, and although I did try to win the Canadian Habel Challenge, someone else won it instead of me. Yes, we're still good friends, and we did have a lot of fun completing challenges and then viewing each other's submissions. But since he won instead of me, I'm left with trying to afford this device, which I can't see myself wanting to part with, and which has become a real life changer for me while trying to raise my family. You can read the FAQ, find out what the price points are, and order through IAMHABLE.com. On their website, they have a lot of answers to your questions. And, of course, there are prices in euros, Canadian dollars, and U.S. dollars. TechExplore.com, that's TechExplore.com. Smart glasses skew power balance with non-wearers, say researchers, by Patricia Waldron, Cornell University. Someone wearing augmented reality, AR, or smart glasses could be Googling your face, turning you into a cat, or recording your conversation. And that creates a major power imbalance, said Cornell researchers. Currently, most work on AR glasses focuses primarily on the experience of the wearer. Researchers from the Cornell N. S. Bowers College of Computing and Information Science and Brown University teamed up to explore how this technology affects interactions between the wearer and another person. Their explorations showed that while the device generally made the wearer less anxious, things weren't so rosy on the other side of the glasses. Jenny Fu, F.U., a doctoral student in the field of information science, presented the findings in a new study, Negotiating Dyadic Interactions Through the Lens of Augmented Reality Glasses, at the 2023 ACM Designing Interactive Systems Conference in July. AR glasses superimpose virtual objects and text over the field of view to create a mixed reality world for the user. Some designs are big and bulky, but AR technology advances, smart glasses are becoming indistinguishable from regular glasses, raising concerns that a wearer could be secretly recording someone, or even generating deep fakes with their likenesses. For the new study, Fu and co-author Malte Jung, Associate Professor of Information Science, and the Nancy H. 62 and Philip M. 62 Young Sesquicentennial Faculty Fellow, worked with Ji-Won Chung, a doctoral student, and Jeff Wang, associate professor of computer science, both at Brown, and Zachary Deocadiz Smith, an independent extended reality designer. They observed five pairs of individuals, a wearer and a non-wearer, as each pair discussed a desert survival activity. The wearer received spectacles, an AR glasses prototype, on loan from Snap Inc., the company behind Snapchat. The spectacles look like avant-garde sunglasses, and for the study came equipped with a video camera and five custom filters that transformed the non-wearer into a deer, cat, bear, clown, or pig bunny. Following the activity, the pairs engaged in a participatory design session where they discussed how AR glasses could be improved, both for the wearer and the non-wearer. The participants were also interviewed and asked to reflect on their experiences. According to the wearers, the fun filters reduced their anxiety and put them at ease during the exercise. The non-wearers, however, reported feeling disempowered because they didn't know what was happening on the other side of the lenses. They were also upset that the filters robbed them of control over their own appearance. The possibility that the wearer could be secretly recording them without consent, especially when they didn't know what they looked like, also put the non-wearers at a disadvantage. The non-wearers weren't completely powerless, however. A few demanded to know what the wearer was seeing and moved their faces or bodies to evade the filters, giving them some control in negotiating their presence in the invisible mixed reality world. I think that's the biggest takeaway I have from this study. I'm more powerful than I thought I was, Fu said. Another issue is that, like many AR glasses, spectacles have darkened lenses so the wearer can see the projected virtual images. This lack of transparency also degraded the quality of the social interaction, the researchers reported. There's no direct eye contact, which makes people very confused, because they don't know where the person is looking, Fu said. That makes their experiences of this conversation less pleasant, because the glasses blocked out all these nonverbal interactions. To create more positive experiences for people on both sides of the lenses, the study participants proposed that smart glasses designers add a projection display and a recording indicator light, so people nearby will know what the wearer is seeing and recording. Fu also suggests designers test out their glasses in a social environment and hold a participatory design process like the one in their study. Additionally, they should consider these video interactions as a data source, she said. That way, non-wearers can have a voice in the creation of the impending mixed reality world. The findings are published as part of the proceedings of the 2023 ACM Designing Interactive Systems Conference. More information? Ji-Won Chung et al., that's spelled J-I-W-O-N-C-H-U-N-G, Negotiating Dyadic, D-Y-A-D-I-C, Interactions Through the Lens of Augmented Reality Glasses, Proceedings of the 2023 ACM Designing Interactive Systems Conference 2023, Document ID 10.1145/356365-7.359596-7, provided by Cornell University. New from CoolBlindTech.com, startup develops a smart headband to assist blind swimmers. Posted August 28th. iCan, E-Y-E-C-A-N, an Israeli startup, has developed a smart headband to assist blind swimmers in navigating obstacles while swimming. This innovative device utilizes vibrations and bone conduction technology to provide real-time alerts and enhance the safety and confidence of visually impaired individuals in the pool. The smart headband, developed by iCan, is equipped with a camera that scans the pool's bottom, and the area in front of the swimmer. This data is processed by a dedicated processor at the back of the headband, which then sends alerts to two chips placed on either side of the swimmer's head. These chips utilize bone conduction technology to send vibrations to the inner ear, alerting the swimmer in real time whenever they move away from the center of their lane or approach an obstacle. What challenges do visually impaired swimmers face in the pool? Visually impaired swimmers often struggle with disorientation, veering off their lane, and the risk of colliding with obstacles such as pool edges. Without technological solutions, they might rely on a person using a soft stick, tapper, to signal when they're nearing the pool edge. This dependency diminishes their sense of independence and confidence while swimming. What is the significance of the smart headband for blind swimmers? The smart headband is a crucial advancement for blind and visually impaired swimmers, as it empowers them to swim independently without the need for external assistance. Nearly one-third of the global population experiences vision complications, making this technology highly relevant. Unlike tappers, which are mainly used by Paralympic swimmers, the smart headband caters to both competitive and recreational swimmers, boosting their motivation and self-assurance. How is ICANN further developing the technology for blind swimmers? ICANN is refining its smart headband technology through two key approaches. Firstly, it trains the processor's algorithm using wearable cameras on swimmers, analyzing the recorded videos to detect obstacles and lane deviations. Additionally, the company is working on a cameraless prototype to gather feedback on the device's comfort and effectiveness from visually impaired swimmers. The smart headband developed by ICANN represents a significant breakthrough in aiding blind swimmers. By utilizing vibrations and bone conduction technology, this innovation not only enhances safety, but also promotes independence and self-confidence for visually impaired individuals in the water. As ICANN continues to refine its technology, it holds the potential to transform the swimming experience for a diverse range of individuals. From Accessibility on the Go last week, that's accessibilitytog.com. Our author and website creator, Douglas Rudolph III, has a review of smartwatches. From Zen to Tick Watch to Samsung Galaxy Watch, this is my adventure. Why a smartwatch? This is not a simple answer for me, nor is it a simple answer for many people. That being said, I wanted to get a better grasp on my physical health, separate just a little bit from my iPhone, and have functionality in doing it. This is what drove me into searching up the most accessible smartwatches, and did I find a lot. This is my journey from smartwatch curious to smartwatch obsessed, from the Zen to the Galaxy. From Zen to Tick Watch to Galaxy Watch, let's go. The year is 2020, and we are balls deep in the midst of a global pandemic. We are experiencing many forms of societal lockdowns, public access restrictions, and overall despair across the globe. So if we cannot associate with our friends, family, etc., let's do things with our households that are fun, that are outside, and that have a low impact on us catching COVID-19. Let us do our part in getting healthy, and let's see our results in live time. Let's go buy a smartwatch. After weeks and painful hours of looking, I found a great starter device. It had a speaker, and most importantly, it ran Wear OS, also known as Android. This is huge and important since I am not an iPhone user, so Apple Watches just don't cut it for me. Hello, Asus SunWatch. How might you join me today? Yes, this is a very old model. I think maybe from the early days of smartwatches. So let's say it is the 2015 model. I do not care, though, because it gets the job done. So I'm tracking my steps, replying to messages, taking phone calls, and everything you do on your watch, except playing those small screen games. Oh, by the way, TalkBack worked great. Unfortunately, like all good things, this relationship with the Zen Watch had to come to an end when it decided that the technological graveyard was where it needed to be. So, TickWatch, TICWATCH. Thus, what is this brand I keep hearing great things about? I keep hearing it has accessibility features such as Google, TalkBack, etc. They say it's TickWatch, a brand I have never heard of previously, but I'm hearing such good things, I must investigate. Wow, guys, they have so many needs. Models. There is literally a watch for every person, every age, and of almost any style. They are truly impressive. So, I was still unsure about the whole smartwatch thing and didn't want anything too flashy, so I jumped in and bought the TickWatch E3, the more budget-friendly device that did not in any factor cut corners. This watch was, and with no complaints, the best introduction to a modern smartwatch that I can ever recommend. The speaker sounded reasonable for the size, it had all the sensors I wanted, and it was all around a great watch. I highly recommend the TickWatch E series and the Pro series. They do not disappoint. The next adventure. Hello, Samsung Galaxy Watch 4 Classic. Guys, when I say I didn't think it could get any better than the TickWatch, I think I was wrong. I'm sorry, TickWatch and MobVoy. I have a great new wristband attraction. The Watch 4 Classic is not only a smartwatch with a great size offering, but guys, it has a built-in fidget spinner. Well, actually, it has a rotating bezel, but if you adjust the right settings, it is a perfect fidget spinner. So if you have out-of-control ADHD, or it can just not sit still, please make this your next smartwatch priority. Get a built-in fidget spinner and spin until your heart's content. Now let's get into the serious stuff. This watch is seriously a beast. Samsung, already well known for their smartwatches, combined forces with Wear OS and built their greatest watch to date. Packed with pedometer, your normal gyroscope, and all the other sensors you expect, heart rate monitor, oxygen monitor, etc., you can easily be heart healthy with this device. Just hold up, there is seriously more. Seriously, just when you thought you couldn't get better, they loaded more tools inside. Do you want to monitor your body composition? How about monitor your atrial fibrillation? Wait, even your blood pressure. Yes, guys, this watch can do it all. Seriously great, right? Sadly, I must tell you, my love affair with this watch was short-lived, and I can take some fault for this. However, the true culprit for the loss of my greatest K-I-J-I-J-I purchase ever was none other than Samsung. They released an update that was unfortunately bricking the Galaxy 4 Watch and 4 Classic without meaning to. And unfortunately, guys, I had this update, and it worked. I mean, it didn't give me the problems, but it was the update to fix the problem that ironically bricked my device. R.I.P. Galaxy Watch 4 Classic. I will always remember and miss you. Hello, Galaxy Watch 5 Pro. Yes, I got the latest and greatest. Not for the reasons you'll believe. Just ask my amazing partner. Ironically, she was the one who convinced me into this particular model. Thanks. Oh, by the way, check them out at this hot link. I bought the 5 Pro because it is made with stronger and more durable materials like sapphire and titanium, which, if you know anything about these two products, you will be aware they are very durable. Maybe this watch will be Doug-proof. Truthfully, not much is different between this and the Watch 4 Classic, other than the inclusion of track-back features and ability to upload GPX files to the watch directly from your phones. But that 45mm is perfect for my wrist and huge fingers. Favorite watch? Guys, I'm not going to tell you I have one because I honestly do not. All of the devices I have had the opportunity to use have all done what I wanted, what I needed, and so much more. Each device was great in their own ways and with their own features, even when I didn't know I wanted or needed it. Now, when you ask me in the context of usability, accessibility, I will always tell you to go new and go big. The speaker on the Watch 5 Pro is amazing. The screen is large and in charge, and TalkBack sounds beautiful. Well, as beautiful as a screen reader can sound. Are you interested? So, I want to only promote the products and devices that I use, have used, and know are great for those of us with vision loss. For that reason, I provide a link to the product discussed in each of my posts. Below, you will find the Amazon link to the Samsung Galaxy Watch 5 Pro. And I'm done. I hope you enjoyed today's episode of Vision News. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreading.com.